Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 13th December 2018, Thursday class. So now we get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall begin the puja. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Quan Sư Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Sư Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Sư Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Mi Lô Phật. Nam mô Mi Lô Phật. Nam mô Mi Lô Phật. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majjhapamadatthana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now you chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupenahang suganghina jaye pujaniyantang japacana motamang วันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันตตินปูญายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหกุสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมะเตนะชะโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสภาวันอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปูจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง We are now chant the puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering.Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool waterLead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue.Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Okay, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi.Okay, you all can be seated. Then you can have half an hour of formal silent meditation. Yeah. For those who already know how to meditate, you can just proceed. For those who still need to train the mind, you can develop the training accordingly. If you need to stabilize your mindfulness, then you just use a object of meditation that you are familiar with. Just develop mindfulness of it, awareness of it. You can anchor to whatever object of meditation that you are familiar. Anapanasati is one of them, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Or if you are familiar with Buddha, you can also use them. Then some, they also use the rise and fall of the abdomen. They maintain awareness there. So you just silence your mind and maintain awareness. Then you can also develop on your own some skillful means to help you decondition the heedless thinking. Then combine with loving kindness or metta to bring about inner peace leading to inner well-being, so that your mind can be peaceful, calm, and aware within. After the mind supreme method and metta, then only you use anapanasati or whatever skillful means to anchor the mind, to stabilize the sati. Then when your sati has already been stabilized, your mind becomes very quiet, very still. You will experience piti, sukha, leading to paucity or tranquility of mind or the stillness of mind. That is the meditative mind. Then you just relax everything and silent. No need to do anything. Just maintain awareness to understand what is going on, to understand who you are, what you are, and how the form and mind arise and pass away. To really develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma. Okay, now I will let you develop the meditation on your own. Then after the 30 minutes is up, I will ring the bell. OK。For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the trained mind state that you need to use to develop the daily mindfulness. Okay, turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vicacarana sampano sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanaiko pachyatam veditampo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho nyaya patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho samichi patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho yadidam chatari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyaketam lokasati. 萨丢，萨丢，萨丢。Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama. Vedang Pajama. Damang Pajama. Sanghang Pajama. Okay, you can be seated. Then just maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue with part two. Part two is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have. You can ask me question regarding the meditation or the teaching. And also how you can apply what you have learned to help you understand life and overcome whatever life situation or problem that you encounter, so that your mind has the wisdom and the understanding. Okay, the godless mic is there. You just have to raise your hand, then we will pass you the mic. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question? Yeah. Nobody. As usual, very, very shy. Okay, maybe we can go through last Thursday's outline short note. I just sent out before the class. So maybe if you have your handphone, you can on it. You go to my Kayana Mita, then the short note is there. Okay. So this is our Thursday class 6 of December 2018 short notes. The main purpose of the Buddha's teaching is to help living beings overcome their life problem and be free from all suffering. So always remember this. This is our key take. You come here to develop the training of the mind, to insight into phenomena, to develop the wisdom, so that you know how to use this wisdom and understanding to live life. So the main purpose of the Buddha's teaching is very easy: to help living beings overcome their life problem and be free from all suffering, especially mental suffering of fear, sorrow and lamentation, as well as how to confront the realities of birth, old age, sickness and death as experienced in life. Our physical body goes the way of nature. When you don't understand this law of nature, you will have wrong view. You were attached to the body, thereby worrying about the body, getting old, getting sick and die. You need to apply the Dhamma, especially the five daily contemplation taught by the Buddha, to overcome this wrong view or this wrong thought. And when you understand it, there is less suffering, and your mental states are more calm and peaceful. Then when you have progressed along the path of Dhamma, the seven factors of enlightenment will keep on arising. You are mindful, heedful, and peaceful. Your actions, speech, and thoughts are all in accordance with the right view born of wisdom. You will have yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. You are then able to communicate and act appropriately and beautifully with people through the three ways of right conduct or good conduct. After having diligently cultivated the four right efforts, to purify the mind. With daily mindfulness cultivated, you will have sense restraint, leading to the three ways of good conduct. To cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness within life itself. With sati sampajana stabilized, you will have clarity of mind to develop the understanding and the wisdom. Thus, you will awaken and transform. So this is a very important understanding. Then point number two. The three most important qualities of mind for progressing cultivation and meditation are your faith, sadda, in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by sincerity of heart. You are very sincere, so that you will not deviate. You just sincerely walk the path, cultivate to develop the wisdom and the understanding. Then after that, the third one is diligence. So under faith or sadda in the Buddha and his teaching, you have to develop it via knowing clearly who the Buddha is and how unique and special a being the Buddha is and how great his teaching is. The teaching can make you enlightened, liberate your mind from all suffering and misery. Then sincerity means you don't waver to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma, especially the five spiritual faculties and the three phases of Dhamma of Pariyatti, Patipatti and Pativeda to awaken. Diligent means to persevere diligently and sincerely. The faith will drive you. With sincerity, you won't deviate into fame, psychic power, etc. because of your right view or right understanding. Then only wisdom free and liberate our mind, nothing else. You will cultivate diligently the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, leading to the awakening or enlightenment. With the above three quality of mind, you can then use the Avijja Sutta to further check on your progress along the path of Dhamma. Avijja Sutta highlighted 10 very important steps leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. As Kayinamita, most of us would have completed the first four steps of first, associating, having associated with noble friends or Dhamma friends. Then with Dhamma friends, you will have the condition to constantly listen to the true Dhamma to straighten your view and develop the faith. By then you will have the faith in the Triple Gem developed. With faith comes development of the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. We are having cultivated the first and second turning wisdom of Suttamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya. So this will come about if you constantly listen to the Dhamma that will give rise to the first turning wisdom of Suttamaya Panya. Then when you listen, after that you reflect, contemplate, then you inquire deep into the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, you will develop the second phase of wisdom. They call it Chintamaya Panya. Wisdom born of constant reflection and contemplation on the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. With Yoniso Manasikara, your mental hindrance won't arise. Your mind will not stir. You are calmer. And you will have the stability of mindfulness to see things as they are. You are diligent in cultivating sati sampajana, means you can develop the mind that is ever mindful and constantly meditative. When mindfulness and clear comprehension has stabilized, it further leads to sense restraint. Sense restraint enable you to develop the three way of right conduct. By that, you would have realized at least sotapanna shape, the first stage of sainthood. As you move on, I think one word is missing. As you move on with your practice, you can cultivate the Satipatthana or four foundation of mindfulness with relative ease because of your stability of mindfulness. Because of the stability of daily mindfulness you have already developed, you will find that the teaching is easy to understand and those enlightenment factors keep arising. Sati, which is the first enlightenment factor, is always there. You then use it to investigate the Dhamma, Dhamma Vichaya, which is the second factor of enlightenment. Then when you are able to reflect and contemplate constantly, to develop the understanding to straighten your views. And when you realize that the Dhamma always stand up to investigation, your faith is deeply strengthened. And this will condition virya, the spiritual zeal, the third enlightenment factor, to arise. You will then cultivate diligently to experience piti, spiritual joy, the fourth enlightenment factor. As you relax into it, your mind becomes calmer and more refined. You will then experience sukhang, spiritual blissfulness of mind. If you continue to relax into it, the mind becomes more tranquil, leading to the realization of the silent mind or pasati, the fifth enlightenment factor. When you have realized the silent mind, which is also your true mind, you will come to know clearly who you are and what you are. You are home. There is wisdom. When pasati is stabilized, the mind becomes collected and unwavering, leading to samadhi, the sixth enlightenment factor. Mind can then see things as they are, and your memories, conditioning, etc. will not interfere. One can then insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering and non-self nature. This awakening and wisdom brings about the final seventh enlightenment factor of upekkha, which is equanimity born of wisdom, whereby the mind becomes peaceful and equanimous because it understands. You will not react or become emotional anymore. Nothing affects you anymore. There is no more suffering. You are free. You can confront the eight realities of life easily. Life is simple. You will come to understand that finally, there is he no you, he no you, and he no me. Only mighty nature rolling by. One will see the power of wrong thought to divide via words, concept, and mundane convention, leading to dualities and conflict. Division will lead to chaos because one lacks wisdom to bring about harmony. You will see these wrong thoughts clearly. The beauty of Dhamma is it can lead one to arise the right thought, right speech, and right action, including the right livelihood, etc., born of right view. One is able to apply Dhamma in life. We are following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all problems and issues amicably. Dhamma can liberate one's mind, bringing about awakening in the here and the now. One is transformed from a heedless being into an enlightened being, an Arya, who is wise and very noble in all aspects of life, always heedful and mindful. One also will have the embodiment of all the Noble Eightfold Path factors. All Aryas have good conduct, upright conduct, wise and dutiful conduct. They do their duty well. They know form and mind is not real, but is subject to karma. Thus, one cannot simply do things inappropriately while living life. So having right duties to avoid all karmic negativity is very important. For the law of karma recognizes relationship, and there is such a thing as life, loved ones, right thought, right speech, right action, etc. in life. Within the mundane world, law of karma exists. Life itself has its own reality. But in true emptiness, the realization is different, because it is the unconditioned wisdom. As stated in the Heart Sutra, in true emptiness, there is no old age, no sickness, and no death. Within ultimate reality, or in true emptiness, there is he no you, he no me. No one is born, no one sick, no one old, and no one die. There is also no Four Noble Truths, no suffering, no cause of suffering, no cessation, and no path leading to the cessation of suffering. When one realizes this profound truth of the conditioned and the unconditioned, one will awaken and one will know how to live the noble life of a Arya or enlightened being beautifully. With this understanding, you won't attach and cling deludedly to the conditioned world and the phenomenal world of consciousness. In the Diamond Sutra, the Buddha said, everything is conditioned Dhamma, and all conditioned Dhamma are not real, impermanent, and it leads to suffering, empty and non-self. They are dreamlike, illusionary, like bubble arising and passing away, and shadows. Feeling is like bubble, arise and pass away very fast. It is one's mind through ignorance which cling and develop sorrow leading to suffering. You can have faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through understanding clearly who Buddha is. He is not only enlightened, but he is the fully enlightened one. To have such a wise and great teacher to be your guide, you will have great gratitude and deep respect for him. And you will also deeply cherish his teaching, because his teaching is so unique, for it can bring about liberation from all suffering and delusion. Money cannot buy such understanding. Humanity needs this. Without comprehending this teaching, you will suffer in life. But with Dhamma, everything becomes simple and clear. You are able to live life well. You will know the importance of following the advice of the Buddha with regards to the law of karma to live the good life. Then number 12. Faith leads to balas, or spiritual faculty or powers, which is the unshakable faith. With sincerity, you won't go astray and become gullible in your search for truth. Nothing free except wisdom. Thus, your sole purpose in cultivation is to develop wisdom. Without wisdom, psychic powers only entangle you more. Through faith, sincerity, and diligence in cultivation, the way will be there, and you will definitely progress along the path of Dhamma. 13. It is important to have Kayanamitas or Dhamma friends. To help strengthen our bond and Dhamma understanding, we are learning to counsel, motivate, encourage, and help each other to develop the fellowship, the faith, the sincerity, and diligence to cultivate the Dhamma. This brings about wholesomeness. It can also arise the causes and conditions, so that in future there will be Kayamita who will motivate and help you to walk this path in return. They will share all their understanding with you, just like what you did unto them now. We should count our good blessing and have gratitude for our ability to be part of the big Kayanamita family. Point number 14. Having true Dhamma friends or Kayamita or noble friends is an important prerequisite for enlightenment. Remind yourself to constantly listen to the true Dhamma to develop the first turning wisdom of Sutta Maya Panya. Then contemplate diligently to develop the second turning wisdom of Cittamaya Panya, to straighten your view and develop the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara, to stabilize your faith in the Triple Gem. You will then be able to cultivate the rest of the cultivation following the Avijja Sutta steps, leading to the enlightenment in the here and the now. Point number 15. There are 10 important steps stated in the Avijja Sutta. As Kayamita, you will have completed at least the initial 4 steps. We are having Noble Friend as the first step. The 5th step is to cultivate the daily mindfulness. The 6th step is sense restraint developed via cultivating the 4 right effort. Then the 7th step is to arise the 3 way of good conduct. The 8th step is cultivating the 4 foundation of mindfulness. Then the 9th step is when the enlightenment factor, the 7 enlightenment factors keep on arising, leading to the final step, which is knowledge and vision leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. In this era, with the Buddha Sasana still around, it is quite easy to realize such truth. So this part is the Dhamma part. Then point number 16, meditation reporting. A sister asked regarding the meaning of sati being defined as awareness before the knowing. She realizes in daily activity, she only is aware after something happened. Relative answer that it is good for her to ask for him to know where she is at with her practice. He further explained what sati means. Awareness before the knowing means awareness before perceiving something. For example, just be aware of your hand movements. It is not the concept of perceiving what the thing is, but just aware. Mind and body move as one. Mind and movement move as one. For example, body and mind as one while bowing. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware because you are not perceiving or thinking. The 4th support for awareness-based meditation is relax, aware, 24-hour, and trust. Relax body and mind and let things be. Awareness is mindfulness, being silent, because without thought, you are already aware. Whatever heedless thinking, let it arise. Don't fight, control, or suppress it. Just let it be, and it will slow down. These are habitual tendencies arising due to your lack of mindfulness. When mental hindrances arise, they hinder your mind from becoming aware. But if you just let it be, don't give it meaning, it will die down. And you will experience the tranquility or stillness of mind after that. Bow until body and mind as one. Cultivate or do until mindfulness comes. Then the form and mind will know what sati is when it has arisen. There is no thought involved, so don't try to know, for thought-based meditation is doomed to fail. Sati is there when everything you do, you are aware. Mind-sweeping method in combination with metta can also help one to decondition the heedless thinking. Point number 18. Train via anapanasati until the mindfulness or awareness stabilizes and the breathing has become so subtle until the silent mind arises. Mind then enters sati. After coming out of the meditation, you will come to realize that your mind, your true mind, which is awareness, and all your physical movement, they move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. Your mundane mind needs to be trained. The 5 spiritual faculties are vital. Just do and don't try to know until sati arises. When you live life, you have to perceive and interact with others. Mindfulness must come naturally. Thus you train during formal meditation or while at home, when you are alone, when your senses are not so active. You need to develop awareness of all action and movement in the daily mindfulness. Maintain awareness at the heart area, aware of outside from inside. This is your new way of living life, heedful living. You can't think when you are aware. When you cultivate, just do. Walking, standing, sitting and lying down, etc. Just aware. You do until the sati come. Not until your mind enters sati. You cannot do daily mindfulness. When sati is there, whether walking, bending, stretching, etc., you are always aware. Sati becomes very natural, for it has become a part of you already. You then use it in living. Then only your sati sampajana or mindfulness and clear comprehension practices can come to be. There must be sincerity of purpose, that is, you are not doing this to develop fame or psychic ability, but to train the mind to develop wisdom only. This is daily mindfulness, and it can see a lot of things, thereby arising the self-knowledge or initial wisdom needed to awaken. You can see how you, the form and mind, function as a human being, how you become emotional, fearful, sad, etc., how your own view and opinion condition you to react to sense experience, to arise the duality of likes and dislikes. Which are your mental hindrances of sensual desire and will. You can see them. Oh, I have to open it again. This fellow run off. Okay. Okay, I think we are at 19. I didn't finish. Then only your sati sampajana or mindfulness and clear comprehension practices can come to be. There must be sincerity or purpose. Oh, this one we have covered. Until self-knowledge. Okay. This is daily mindfulness, and it can see a lot of things, thereby arising self-knowledge or initial wisdom needed to awaken. You can see how you, the form and mind, function as a human being, how you become emotional, fearful, sad, etc., how your wrong views and opinion condition you to react to sense experience, to arise the duality of like and dislike, which are your mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will. You can see them in real life. You know how you become afflicted when things don't go your way, how when your thoughts project, fear, worry, and anxiety arise to make you miserable and suffer. You will come to know that thoughts are response to memory, hence acting according to memory is not acting at all. Instead, you should act with wisdom and understanding via right view. Right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama, and law of mind, citta niyama. We are what we are because of our karma. So karma is very important. Thus, you need to understand what constitutes good and wholesome karma. The three ways of right conduct are vital. The Buddha advises us to contemplate this law of karma via his five daily contemplation. To take care of karma, we must follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness, and purify our mind to arise the beautiful karmic nature. To avoid evil is vital for us to keep the five precepts. deeply reflecting on each precept to understand clearly why we must keep our precept well. Why do you take the precept to abstain from killing? It is because those who kill are evil people with the three evil roots. If you break this precept, it constitutes evil karma. Precept is to protect you so that you will not be miserable or afflicted by this potential evil karmic friction. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. You reap what you sow. Thus, you need to be mindful to cultivate wholesomeness instead. Virtuous thought, action, and speech brings about goodness. When you are sincere, kind, generous, and caring towards others, others will respond the same to you. For parents, if you sacrifice for your kid and do your duty well, in future you will have parents who will provide care and sacrifice for you. This is karma. Thus, it's important to do your duty. For children, if you care for your parents, in future you will have kids or children who will take care of you. Thus, to determine to follow the advice of the Buddha, make vows for causes and conditions that life after life when you come, you will have this right view and understanding. It's very important. You can follow the Bodhisattva vow as given by Brother Teo in his blue transcript book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. You are supposed to renew your vow daily, then once a week, then once a month, and finally repeatedly over 3 to 6 months. If you do this with understanding sincerely and invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for it to arise, then even when there is no Buddha Sasana, you will still have this right view and understanding when you come, either by choice or by coming. When daily mindfulness is there, you will have clarity of mind to perceive, to be aware, and move. There is no more fear and anxiety. You only perceive when needed. There is no need to worry about your problem because no amount of worry can help you solve your problem. It won't help. Also, when you worry, you are not aware. You are preoccupied with those thoughts or you are lost in thought. For example, when you are driving and thinking, in those moments of heedlessness, you could end up in an accident. Thus, you need to discipline yourself, especially when driving. It is unwise or not wise to get addicted to phone messages or calls, which is dangerous. If you have to, please stop at the roadside to answer urgent calls, or wait until you are home to do so. To be on the safe side, don't use your phone while driving unless it is hands-free. It is important to listen attentively, then reflect to develop the understanding. Determine to be constantly mindful. Brother Teo advises to cultivate daily mindfulness. The moment you know you are lost in thought, you should anchor your mindfulness or awareness back to the movement, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena in daily life. For example, when you observe people, your awareness and their activity are as one specific phenomenal awareness. Like the moving car, your awareness and the car move as one. You need to be tested in real life. Your relationship with nature, society, and fellow human beings. You need to interact with them. While living life, if you are aware, you can see clearly your own delusion, your own selfishness, emotion, etc. You also understand how your mind stirs because of your wrong view and self-delusion. When you have this understanding, your mind need not stir or react to sense experience like before. The mind reacts and stirs because of your like and dislike or mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will. Without this wrong thought, you won't have mental hindrance. Instead, with mindfulness, you can live your life heedfully. No more panicking or reacting. You are peaceful within, always aware with little or no thought. When you have developed the initial wisdom or yoniso manasikara through listening and reflecting on the Dhamma, you will have right view to accept people as they are and accept the world as the world. You will smile more, have gratitude towards all things. You will be more sensitive, sincere, kind, contented, and appreciative of life. There will be no more conflict. If you are contented, there is no more desire or craving. Your mind won't always want things your way because you are contented with the way things are and your karmic nature in life. Without wisdom, the ego always wants to become something better, leading to craving via your strong and deluded views. Contentment is your greatest wealth. A rich person not contented is still poor because he still wants, he has craving. Virtue share about him retiring early via having contentment, with enough saving to live a simple yet decent and relatively comfortable life. He does not need much to sustain himself and his family after having paid his mortgages. Virtue retired in May 2001 after his eldest daughter graduated. When he did not have any more burden, he is contented with what he has and spend time doing things he likes to do. Life is simple. Later he came to realize, after his retirement, he makes more money after retiring as compared to when he was working. He did it through investment. With wisdom, one will also know how to grow one's money through proper investment understanding. Yeah. So that's the whole outline, short notes, which was very good. I think very well done. It's done by Puan Chi's daughter, Sister Angie. Same name as you. Oh, Pei Yuan. I think also Angie, isn't it? Both also Angie. But this Christian name are quite common. Especially Wendy, we got a lot of Wendy in Hokkaido Mitago. I think 5 or 6 of them. Okay. Any question? The outline short note after I edit it become very clear actually. Very good. In fact, you should go back and read up this outline short notes. Then when you're free, you go back to the website, our website. Go through the outline short note, you learn very fast. The Heart Sutta, of course, is the most complete. But the recent outline short note is different. I link it to cultivation. I link it to life. Heart Sutta is mainly the essential Dhamma. All the important understanding for you to develop the sainthood way leading to the arahant realization of arahantship. Then beyond that, you need to go further to cultivate the bodhisattva way. That one you need to go deeper. You have to follow the blue book, cultivating the bodhisattva way, the transcript book, the blue book, which we are doing at Wuping Qingshe. Then you also have to go through the classes where we have the Mahayana Sutta classes, especially the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, the Diamond Sutta, and even the Surangama Sutta that we have developed and went through earlier on. These are the few very important suttas. And the teaching is much more deeper. more profound. Yeah? Because for the Bodhisattva way, you need deeper understanding to walk that way, because that way is not so easy and it's going to take you very long if you don't have the understanding. Yeah? But when you have the understanding of the Diamond Sutta, you cultivate at a totally different level with totally different understanding. You go beyond the sainthood way. Yeah. The sainthood way touches only on the three universal characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering or dukkha and non-self or empty nature or existence. But when you go into the Diamond Sutta and the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta's teaching, they start off completely differently. Especially Huineng, the Six Patriarch, he takes you direct to the true mind. You bypass all the thought-based meditation. Actually, a lot of cultivators get trapped in the sainthood way because their mundane mind are so active and they are using their thought without realizing what sati is. They cannot understand. So they use their thought so much, so rampantly, yeah, until all the so-called meditation they do, they are all thought-based meditation. Then when you don't have proper teacher, proper guide to teach you, to guide you, you end up debating worse still. Then you entangle yourself with all the other practices that leads to thought-based meditation, focusing, concentration, samadhi. Not the real samadhi. They go into deviant samadhi, which means they go into concentration, absorption, one-pointedness. Or they call it samatha meditation. So all this will lead them astray. But if you go direct into the correct practices with the real understanding, that's why the Bodhisattva way, you have to go through the sainthood way, you have to complete the sainthood way before you can walk. And because of that, when they move into the Bodhisattva way, they develop profound understanding of the cultivation. Because they are not just cultivating to become enlightened. That is very simple. You have to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas. Means develop the perfection of wisdom. Means you not only enlightened, you have to be fully enlightened, perfect in all aspects of understanding and wisdom. Yeah. Then virtue is not only avoid evil, do good. You have to perfect them all, the 10 perfections. That's why it's a totally different type of cultivation. It's very, very extensive, but very rewarding. Very, very rewarding. Because when you understand, you come, it's so beautiful. Yeah, so beautiful, so wonderful. That's why in the Heart Sutta is mentioned, when you penetrate true emptiness is wonderful existence. Means life becomes wonderful, existence becomes wonderful, meaningful, beautiful. And there is so much to life. Then you can really live life to the fullest. Experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then life takes a turn. And you become so happy. You realize life can be so meaningful, so beautiful. You can be full of blessing because of your perfection of virtue and understanding. Your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, they come and support you. And they really deliver what you need. That's why everything becomes so beautiful. Then when you hit the Bodhisattva way cultivation, like the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, it takes you direct to the true mind. So immediately you reach the stage of no thought. No thought means completely silent, aware. Then you realize you're two mind. Then from there, when you cultivate, your memory is so different. It's beyond the mundane mind. All of your action, speech and thought is based on that profound wisdom and understanding. Then as you develop the cultivation, as you stabilize your wisdom and understanding, then you will come to realize the stage of no mark. Not only no thought, no mark. Then you realize the form of mind is not only not real. There is no mark of a self-cultivating. There is no mark of living beings. There is no mark of Dhamma too. And everything is not what you think. So when you have this understanding, you will finally reach the final stage when you are a very, very advanced Bodhisattva. You will realize the third phase of what they call the three hallmarks of Huining's teaching. The last hallmark, which is non-dwelling. Your mind, when it comes, that nature shines forth. And that nature is always there. That's why it doesn't dwell anywhere. It's just aware. It's either in the state of specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness. And he knows the mundane mind is not real. It's for you to use, like a tool for you to use. And they will know how to use. They are not deluded by it. And they know the form of mind is subject to karma. That's why they take care of karma. They will do their duty. They will perfect their karmic nature and also their spiritual nature. And this type of being, the cultivation is so different. That's why when you have that understanding, you are a completely different class of cultivator or beings. Yeah. So, for you to have this condition, to be born a human being, to have a human birth, which is very rare, then to have the condition to encounter the Buddha Dhamma, which is even more rare. Yeah. Then especially during this sasana, this era, you can have the condition to even understand the higher teaching, the Bodhisattva way. You are really, really blessed. You have good past karma. Otherwise, you cannot hear all this. Yeah. And you know this window is very important, very precious. You should determine strongly, with faith, with understanding, with sincerity, to go this way, to have this understanding, so that life after life, whether you choose to come or you have to come, this understanding is there. It will follow you. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. What happened, huh? It's like the sound is trying to come back. It's okay, I think it's okay. Just now for a while. Okay. Anybody else want to report meditation? Or share whatever you want to share? Or ask any question? Just put up your hand while I have my Chinese tea. I need to drink. Yes.
Hi, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
I think I've been coming to classes for 12 months.
Yes, very good.
So
you even came to Tuesday class, which is very good.
So one of the things that I've experienced is I actually acknowledge my mundane mind.
Oh, very good. That's why don't fight it.
Yeah.
Just let it be, because it's a tool to serve you. It's like your servant, understand or not? So understand the function. Then need to train. Like when you get your new maid, what you need to do is to train him, understand, or her. Let her understand what is going on. And then, when they understand what you want, then you reward them, they will serve you well. So your mind is the same. When you train your mind, it's to let the mind know, like you train the dog. If he listens to you, he won't get into trouble. Then he will be rewarded. You give them the food, understand? Then, like now, you say, you have come to term with your mundane mind. Eh? Then you use the other word, what was it? Acknowledge. Eh?
Acknowledge.
Yeah, acknowledge. Which is very good. Because when you do that, you are at peace, understand? The mundane mind is the mundane mind, understand? Like money. You know what is money or not? You cannot say money is the root of all evil, isn't it? True or not? Huh? What is money? It's neither good or evil, isn't it? It depends on what? The use of money, isn't it? So your mundane mind is the same. It serves you. It depends on you, the user, understand or not? If the user has wisdom, understanding, then there is no problem with the mundane mind, understand or not? The mundane mind will serve you well. Then you use it to arise what? The right thought, right speech, right action, and do the right thing to develop the right livelihood and cultivate the four right efforts via your Dhamma understanding, your right view with regards to the law of karma, the law of mind, citta niyama, and the law of Dhamma, Dhamma niyama. So when you understand this, meditation becomes very simple. Cultivation becomes very simple. Then you don't always like normal thought-based cultivator. I still got greed, I still got anger, I still cannot develop it, I am still not there. All this is delusion from the thought, understand not? Like what Kotlun has come to know. I acknowledge that mundane mind means you understand. Mundane mind is just mundane mind, neither good or bad. Understand? The user is very important, and how you use it. If it's deluded, it will do all this funny thing, foolish thing, bring about negativity or karma, cause your karmic downfall, make you miserable. Your life, is that what you want? If that is not what you want, then you better wake up, buck up, understand or not? Acknowledge your mundane mind and don't scold the fellow anymore, don't blame anybody. Just understand. We become like that is because we don't have that wisdom, the understanding, born of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. So now that we have this understanding, we should start with training this mind. Training it to be aware, mindful, heedful. Then the sutta, like Avijja Sutta, all the guideline is there, the 10 steps are there. I make it so clear for you to check your cultivation. So it will be very easy, understand? This is what you're supposed to do. And your life has been made so easy. Your cultivation has been like made so clear to you. So what you need is just the three qualities that we talk about. Have faith, be sincere, then just do, diligently cultivate. That's it. You will realize the enlightenment. You will awaken. Yeah. But if you don't have this quality of mind state, then it's very difficult. If you lack faith, you are not sincere, you are not hardworking or diligent, then how can you have progress? You can't. So faith is very important. Sincerity of mind is very important. Then with that sincerity, with that faith, you will cultivate. Then you will really back up and develop the diligence, the perseverance. Then I already explained, just do, don't try to know until the sati come. Your form and mind will know. When you are in sati, you will know. Before you realize that thing, just do. Like you train whatever games or whatever you do, you just train them, constant training, yeah, with understanding. Then when you already skillful, the first thing you must get it right is mindfulness. When you already mindful, aware, you can see a lot of things. Then you can investigate into Dhamma, you can check the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught you, whether they are true or not, whether they stand up to investigation or not. Then when you realize they stand up to investigation, your faith deepens, strengthens. This is what cultivators do. And they progress only after they are able to become mindful. Then after they become mindful, when they investigate the Dhamma and they realize they stand up to investigation, they have so much joy. Then they start to see the fruition of what they do. Then they start to see the result of following the essential Dhamma, the advice of the Buddha. Then there is no turning back, where you know you are on the right path. This one leads to wholesomeness, goodness, virtue, good life, and it transforms you completely, personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise. You become completely different. And your life also take a turn for the better, and you become so beautiful, a blessing to all. So this is what life is all about. Everybody is chasing after money. Why are you still chasing after money? Money cannot buy you wisdom, the Dhamma, the understanding. Money is useful when you understand the importance of money, but not to chase after money and sacrifice your health and your precious time to cultivate. You have to balance. For me, my advice is develop the Dhamma understanding, money will come on its own. Understand? Without the Dhamma, if you don't live your life properly, you don't have the virtue or generosity, or money will not be there. You will make a lot of mistake. Yeah. Because of your delusion, your greed, your selfishness. But once the Dhamma is there, when you go the Dhamma way, your virtue will be there, your generosity will be there. This parami will bring forth the money. And you will have the good blessing. Everything will go your way. You do your duty well, you will have good children, good parents, good kayamita. Even when you go to office, your boss will be nice to you. Because in the past, you have been good to people. Then your subordinate all will understand you, work for you, sacrifice for you. Like this life. My poor mind is like very blessed. But it's nothing to do with good luck. It has all to do with the understanding of the Dhamma, the inheritance from the karmic nature and the spiritual nature. So this is what you need. When you have the understanding, you can become beautiful. Yeah. Okay, now you continue. Huh? Yeah. After you acknowledge the mundane mind. Huh?
So after that, I begin to start to be aware.
Oh. That is what will happen. Yes, very important.
And when I see my friends,
you will see. Yes. Yeah, correct. You can see their heedlessness, their delusion,
their fear,
their anxiety, and all the stupid things they do because they don't have this understanding. Then like even Padmasri say, after he has the Dhamma as a teacher, when he mark essay, he can understand the mind state of the student. Now it's different. Last time you go for grammar, you go for all the points. Now you feel them, understand? From what they express, from their whether mundane mind or their heart, you will know it's different. Like when I was in lower six, I told you all before that I got a GP teacher. She's very good. She happened to be a Mrs. Steele too. C.K. Teo, Mrs. Steele. You know what she commented on my essay or not after I wrote the essay? She said, rather deeply thought out. Just the three words, or four words, rather deeply thought out. Then my classmate saw my essay and saw the comment. He go and read my essay. And he was really, really surprised. You know, when I was in Form 6, my thoughts were very deep. And my teacher knew, nobody can write like that. I understand life so deeply at that time. I was only in lower 6. So this is what you will know when you acknowledge your mundane mind, as you develop mindfulness, awareness. You start to be aware of what you are, who you are, how you respond to life, how you interact with the world. How do you know the world? So all these things you will start to trace back. Yeah. All the things I teach you, you think I learned from the book, or I learned from my teacher. No. Some of my teacher did spoke some good truth. Then I picked them up. But they never taught me. They only share with me what they understand. Then I picked them up. Yeah. Then I developed a lot of this understanding through my own cultivation, my own contemplative wisdom. Then when I reflect, I contemplate. All this understanding comes about. Then even later, when I come out to teach and share, my nature asks, how can I let those kayamita or those who come for the classes understand the Dhamma? That's why when I inquire, how can the kayamita develop the understanding? Then when I reflect, I realize a lot of things that I initially started, which I think is what you all need, was not what you all need. Because I realize it's like this nature of mine was ahead of time. At first I thought, you all like me, you need the teaching, the essential, the Dhamma. Then when I started to share, in the year 2004, when Yun Chan invited me, I realized hardly anybody understand. No? That's why during that time I told them, if anybody can understand 10% of what I spoke, you already fantastic. Yeah. And at the time they don't believe. No? They all, those who think they are very good, they thought, cannot be. They thought they understand most of the thing I share. They only understand the words. So later on only they come to know. Then I have to reverse everything back now. That's why I go back to basic. The essential Dhamma. The Four Noble Truths. The Three Turning. I have to start all over again. Yeah. These are the basic, the foundation that you need. Otherwise you cannot grow. It's just like primary school. Then secondary school. Then only higher education. Tertiary education and all those things. If you don't go through, it's very difficult because the gap is too big. So all this understanding will come by. That's why you cultivate correctly, all this will unfold and you will develop your own understanding too. And later on you can share with your own style and your own way, which need not be the same because everyone is different. Okay. Continue. After that, what happened?
So that's
when
my,
you can see them.
That's my experience.
Yeah,
outwards.
Very good. Yes, very
so
good.
So then I start to look inwards.
Yeah, very
and my
good.
My next question is, I ask to myself, especially the last few weeks, who am I?
Yeah, what am I? That one is the most important.
So how, what can
you
I
go and read the green book. We got a green book. You know that green book or not? You can read that one. That one explain everything. So, who am I, what am I, is very easy. You just reflect, contemplate. You start from basic. Maybe we go through as a revision. Okay, now we start. Who are you? What are you? What is your basic understanding? The Buddha start with what? The first noble truth, the final summary. What did the Buddha say? In short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp onto the fine aggregate of grasping that arise suffering. Correct? So we start there. Fine aggregate of form and mind. So the Buddha say, in short, when you deludedly grasp onto this fire aggregate of form, thinking that is you, thinking that it's real, that self-delusion conditions suffering. So self-delusion conditions suffering. Condition grasping leading to suffering. Then the next step is what? You have to know what is this fire figure of my mind, isn't it? True or not? So what is this fire figure of my mind? This is what you are. The Buddha said this one got two aspects. What are the two aspects? First aspect is what? Huh? First aspect is what? Who are you? What are you? You cannot deny you are a human being, isn't it? That is the first aspect, as a human being. Then why the Buddha say, I have five aggregates? The first aggregate is what? Form. As a human being, you have a physical body, physical form. So this is your form aggregate. So first aspect is as a human being. It's all in the Green Book and the Heart Sutta book. So as a human being, you got a physical body. I always draw this, you remember? So the form aggregate is the physical body. Physical body. So this is the form aggregate. Or physical form. Then you have a what is this? Consciousness, which is your mind. Which is your mind. So you have to understand. This one is one aggregate. Then the Buddha said your mind got four aggregates. How do you understand them? You have to inquire, isn't it? What can your mind do? What can your mind do? Arise the thinking, which is sankhara. Then? You can feel. That's why there is a feeling aggregate, vedana. Then? How do you know my voice? How do you know what I write on the board? You can perceive, isn't it? That's why the four aggregate of mind. The moment you inquire, what can my mind do, then you will know. Feeling, vedana, sanya, sankara. And the last one, what can your mind do? Your mind can become conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. That's why the Buddha is so wise. He break you down into the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is what you are, the first aspect. As a human being. But the Buddha say this is not the real you, understand or not? This is impermanent. Because it's dependent originating. It comes from where? Karmically conditioned out, understand or not? For you to come to this existential world. To live life, to experience karma, to cultivate. So this is what you are, the first aspect. And you have to tell yourself. The physical body has the senses, understand not? The five physical senses and the brain. That's why it can arise the respective consciousness, the six type of consciousness. So from this, you come to ask yourself, how do I know the world? How do you know the world? Through your? Senses, isn't it? The mind may contact arises consciousness. When you are conscious, or what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, you become alive. True or not? You know the world. You can interact with the world. Without the senses, you can't. So this is how you know the world and how you interact with the world. So with your senses, then you realize, this one I have to meditate to understand whether it's really me. If it's impermanent, lead to suffering, then, because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, if I deludedly grasp and cling, thinking that this is me, I got problem. True or not? You worry about this one getting old, getting sick, and die. Where you think it's you. But when you know that this is a vehicle and a tool for you to use, then your wisdom frees you. That's why the Buddha, under the five daily contemplation, what did he say? This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. Anasana. Because it goes the way of nature. It's not me. Because this is subject to nature's law. It is element, goes the way of nature. It will age, it will get sick, and it will one day die. Where this is condition arising, the three conditions that sustain its life. Physical body with all the organs in proper condition, like the car. Then you have a consciousness trapped inside. Then you have the life force, your karmic force, that come and pump the heart and sustain it. When these three are there, this human being exists, alive. It can be sustained. That's why it animates into a life form. But any of the three conditions affected, then this form and mind cease to be, because it was separate. You call it death. Like when there's an accident, the physical body damage, the consciousness cannot stay inside. It has to come out. When the karmic force is no more, or destructive karma come, the heart cannot beat. Again, it has to separate. So all these are the conditions behind its arising. So this first aspect is very important, and you have to use this as a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this world to meditate. That's why from here, the Buddha said, within this phantom-length body, along with consciousness, thought, awareness, I proclaim the world. I proclaim the cause of the arising of the world. I proclaim the cessation of the world and the path that leads to the cessation. So the Four Noble Truths, the enlightenment, the wisdom, everything comes from this phantom-length body. Means within this five aggregate of form and mind. The Buddha in his teaching say, the four foundations of mindfulness, you remember? The Buddha said, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu. O Bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. So, when the Buddha mentioned that, we check. The first foundation is what? Kayanupassana. I have a physical body. I can cultivate Kayanupassana, isn't it? True or not? Then, Vedana Nupassana. I have the senses upon contact of mind, feeling arise, isn't it? I can cultivate Vedana Nupassana, isn't it? Then, Chitta Nupassana, I got this consciousness, isn't it? I can cultivate Chitta Nupassana, isn't it? Then, all the essential Dhamma, when this form and mind interact with the world, the essential Dhamma are there, isn't it? That's why you can cultivate Dhamma Nupassana, isn't it? That's why this is the only way. From there, the Four Noble Truths can be realized. And this is what the teaching is all about. But the traditional teaching, nobody knows this anymore. Even the five real form and mind, they also cannot understand. Then you all should thank Brother Teo. He managed to locate last time in the year 2005. Immediately after I came out, not long after that. But I came out 2004. Around October, I think, because tsunami happened near Christmas. You remember 2004, that year, 1 or 2 months before that, I came out. Yun Chan invited me to share. Then this one was the next year, May. I think March. That time, March, 2005. I was trying to teach all these things. I thought this is what you all need now. They all need now at that time, the first batch. Everybody don't know what is going on. They say liabu kiwa. They don't know what I was trying to say. Then luckily that time got cassette tape. Yeah. So they did the transcript from the cassette tape. Then I did the editing. But that one last time was only because last time the computer technology not so advanced. So it takes us a long time to do the typing. And when we type, we use very crude word file. And I also don't know where the file is. Then finally I managed to locate. Then I sent to Brother Timothy. I forgot how it went to him. Then I edited it. Then he go and do it into a proper print file. Or like before we publish all the format. Then recently he sent to me. Then I recall. I say, yeah, this is a very good one. So tomorrow I will finish the final check. Yeah, then I will send back to him. Then I will get it printed. Yeah. That one is very detailed on the five agreeable form of mind. Because this for my earlier sharing, my earlier thoughts, when I started, I expect people don't have any understanding. That's why I went into it very deep. So you wait for the book to come out. Yeah. It's a very good book. And I explain all these things very clearly. I even explain how to see form, how to see mind, then how to see the unreality of form, and how to see beyond form and all those things, linking it to the essential teaching, and linking it to the first noble truth, first turning, second turning, and third turning teaching and all those things. So all these are there. And when you go through the green book, it is more about the final understanding of what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about, the first and second aspect. But the initial part, the teaching of the five aggregate, you have to wait till that transcript book come out. That transcript book is very detailed. Very detailed. I think 60 pages, the small book. But it's very, very beautiful. Then I give a lot of example. Then you can understand better even the phenomenal world, the world of consciousness, and what is phenomenal. I define them all. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenal. If you cannot understand phenomena, you cannot understand mind. If you cannot understand form, you cannot see the unreality of form, you cannot see beyond form, you cannot go to mind. And without the understanding of phenomena, you also cannot understand mind. That's why I came out with my own words. Physical phenomena, mental phenomena, and nature's phenomena, and all those things. They were all there. Then the second aspect is what? After knowing this first aspect, then you use it to meditate, like I said just now, the four foundations and all those things. Then the second aspect is what? Second aspect is what? The five? Mental aggregates of form and mind. So this mental aggregate is very important. Mental aggregates of form and mind. This word is very important, mental. So within our mind, our consciousness, we know we got four aggregates, isn't it? True or not? Feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness. Then how did the fifth aggregate went in? Which aggregate brings the external form into the mind? Like this Buddha image, how do you know it's a Buddha image? My voice, how do you know? These are all external formula, external sense data. How did it enter your mind? How did it enter your mind? You have to perceive it, isn't it? So the perception aggregate is sanya. Sanya. Or perception aggregate. Huh? brings the external form into the mind. External form into mind. So the moment you perceive the external form, the four aggregate of mind become five aggregate. You understand? So this second aspect is what the Buddha was trying to teach you under the law of dependent origination. This one is the related to the dwelling. Teaching. So this second aspect is very important because this is how you function as a human being. This will enable you to understand who you are and what you are. This five mental aggregate of form and mind is the one that is happening at every moment of sense experience. Understand? Every moment of seeing, there is also the five aggregate of form and mind. Every moment of hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness, there is also this five aggregate of form and mind. Then if I were to go through the 12 link with you, you will know. So the first link is what? First link is avijja. Huh? Avijja, paccaya, sankara. Then, sankara, paccaya, vijnana. Then, vijnana, paccaya, nama, rupa. Okay, up to here. What is avijja? Ignorant, isn't it? Dependent on ignorance, it condition was. What is sankara? Mental activity, and that's how, mental thinking. Because of your delusion, your ignorance, you don't understand the truth. So what do human beings do when they don't understand? They try to understand via what? Thinking. That's why they think. The moment you think, what happens? You create contact with the mind, you understand that? Thinking create contact with the mind. Your mind is also organ, understand that? That's why this vijnana is actually your mental consciousness. Understand? This is your pure vijnana, pure consciousness, before the input of the content. The moment you input your content, via your content of consciousness, which is your Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and whatever you can do. Yeah? Especially Sankara. So this content, when it went in, the fifth aggregate, which is the mental form, also went in because Sanya is there. Understand now? So this one is your five. Your second aspect, five mental aggregates of form and mind. So this is the one that the Buddha is talking about. But these traditional commentaries and the Buddhist community, they cannot explain it this way. They got no way of reconciling this 12 link. So they have to go back to the old teaching or what the book say. They say dependent origination is over three life. You know why they say over three life? They say this is ignorant when you die. Understand? So ignorant condition, last thought moment, understand not? Or karmic volition. So this sankara, they say, is karmic volition. Your volition is part of sankara, understand not? Means your last thought moment, your karmic volition. So this one, condition, rebirth consciousness, they say. This vijnana is rebirth consciousness. Then rebirth consciousness, condition, Namarupa. They say this is the first aspect of the five aggregate of format. And this is how you are born. Understand? Then when you are born, you have the sense basis, salayatana. Then the sense basis give rise to contact. Contact condition, feeling, feeling condition, craving, craving condition, grasping, becoming, and birth. Then the whole myself. Ah, rather explain to them, very easy to explain, very happy. But if it's over three lifetimes, happen only once, the Buddha teach you this teaching for what? Understand? No meaning, is it? It has to be every moment, every instant, is it? So when you understand it the way I teach, the second aspect, the five mental aggregate, then it's happening every moment, every instant. Understand not? Every time when you see something with ignorance, avijja paccaya sankhara, straight away. Understand not? You understand not? How you stir your mind when you perceive something? Because your conditioning, your views, your opinion condition you to think that way. Like and dislike, duality arise. So this one create thinking. And this thinking create mental consciousness. And the mental consciousness, you input the content. This is the one that is happening in life. But you cannot see, understand now? Because you don't have mindfulness. You cannot see the content of consciousness. You cannot be mindful of Vedana. You cannot be mindful of Chitta, which is insight. You cannot be mindful of the essential Dhamma. That's why you cannot cultivate four foundations of mindfulness. Yeah, you totally can. These 12 links are very fast. Sometimes it didn't finish. That's why in the retreat I told you, it's not a single dimension. It's a multi-dimensional thing. Because at this level, avijja, there is also contact, ignorant contact. Understand? You understand? So ignorant contact will condition all this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. That's why the evil root all come. So it's not only after this salayatana, then only you have vedana. No. Simultaneously upon contact, like the light bulb. The light bulb light up. You remember? When it make contact with the mind through sankhara, where you think. So the mind is also an organ. So the mental consciousness, the lighting up. So this is vinyanang, mental consciousness. Then like the Buddha say, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. It's just that consciousness, like the light bulb, just light up. Understand? There is nobody to see. No one to see. You have not associated through self-delusion with the seeing. Then when you input the content only, you go wrong. The self-delusion associated with the seeing. Then you say, I see. Then you get emotional, excited, fearful, or whatever. It depends on how you perceive it. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system all come in and interfere. But that is not seeing. Acting according to memory, seeing according to memory is not seeing at all. I already gone through you. Krishnamurti also knew that. But this is your brain, understand? Your views, your opinion, which is not wisdom. You have fear. You have anxiety. You have selfishness. You have delusion. So how can you act like that? How can you use this brain to act and to see? Cannot. That's why you must act according to Dhamma, wisdom, understanding, noble eightfold path. You cannot act according to memory. So the direct seeing is when you see things as they are without the interference of the brain, the memory, and the conditioning. That is the direct seeing. That is the meditative awakening. That's why no thought is involved. Understand? You see things as they are without the words, without the concept, without the brain, the memory coming in to interfere. And that is what this thing is all about. So you wait for the transcript book, it's all inside there. Now 10:30, we better end. So, now you understand. Because your inquiry is good, it has bring you to the right cultivation and right practice. When you start to develop this ability to acknowledge the mundane mind, then when you are more aware and more mindful, you learn. Then when you understand yourself, you will understand others. That's why when you see your friend, your colleague, oh, still behaving the old way, the heedless way, and you know, this is going to create karmic negativity. Through this delusion, they are going to continue with their suffering, their misery. That's why you have compassion. But you can't do anything where there is no condition to help. And also you are not ready to help. So forget about it, unless there is condition. And if they want to know, you say go to the website or you attend various class. Then you learn, like you, how you come, how Eric come, and how they learn. Then after that, when you start to understand all this outwardly, then you look within, like what you did. You look within. Then you try to understand who you are, what you are through this. Understand? And they are all in the teaching. So you, in the meantime, before the five aggregate of form and mind transcript come out, I think it's a purple book. I saw the one that Bradfield sent to me. I think it's purple. So that one, when it come out, you read through, you will understand it very deeply. I think also condition is right for it to come out. Maybe some of you who are relatively new, and most of you came later. That's why all this early teaching were not there. Because I start from very basic again. I go back to basic. Then after that, I try to share whatever that is relevant for life and all those things. But if you really want to go to the next stage, which is the real teaching, which is what you all need, then that 2005 thing is relevant again. Because that 2005, I went through a few of the very deep teaching. You know? I started with Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, then I end up with the Satipatthana Sutta. You know? I finish it. Then I also teach the Noble Eightfold Path. You know? The Noble Eightfold Path was very detailed, very deep. With right view, samadhi, all the path factors I went through during the early years. That time, also very funny, I thought people need the Dhamma, so I just share. Then I realized they cannot go. Because every time I teach, I mention what I have earlier discussed or whatever, everybody look at me. Like, they are book you, don't know what is going on. Then I have to repeat many times. Then later on when I reflect and condemn, then I realize this is not what they need, because hardly anybody understand. Anybody who can understand 10% at that time was already very good. So I finally decided to reverse everything. That's why I went back to very basic, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty, the three evil roots, and the whatever for Noble Truth, Three Turning, all those things. First phase of Dhamma, second phase of Dhamma, third phase. So I had to go back to all those things. When all the essential Dhamma are being understood, then only I can go deep into each and every of these essential Dhamma. And luckily, during the early day, I think we had the A4 size paper. That time, don't have this high-tech technology to help us do all these things. So they type it out. No? Then they use typewriter to type on this A4 size paper. No? Then we send it for photostat. No? I tell you, that time was very, very crude. And we thought we were very advanced. So actually, that time we were so primitive. Then from the A4 size photostat, we just staple them and pass it out. Then now I think left with only the hard copy, no more soft copy. Where my old computer also changed 2 or 3 already. All the file gone already. Yeah, last time don't have this VCD, don't have this pen drive, don't have cassette tape. You know, after some time it all like become sticky. Then it break. Then over time, sometimes it slow down. So cannot. But at least we managed to preserve. I managed to retrieve from my old computer that time before I throw away. I kept some of them, but the rest I don't know. If don't have, you know, I got a hard copy. You can go and type it out. They were very good. They were very good. Okay, we better end. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will share merits with all beings. Then you can make your aspiration. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakkantu lokasasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay your respect to Buddha and other worthy one. Then we end.
Tonight and for all the puja items.